Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil. I am the council member, one of the council members, in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, nestled between Norristown, PA, and King of Prussia, a little bit north and west of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia suburbs. If you've been listening to our podcast, which I hope you have, you've heard people running for or members of state representatives, even some members of Congress, people who've run for judge, and only one so far person who's run for school board, which is probably the biggest and most important local election anywhere you can find in the country. Everyone's got a school board, everyone's got schools they care about, and education is always at the top of people's priorities when they vote for anything. And today, I am extremely happy to welcome my new friend, Deborah Kalina. I hope I got that right, Deborah.
You did. Thank you so much.
I did. Good. Because words are important when it comes to schools.
And, that's correct.
And we're going to be talking about her election in York, PA, the York Area School District. And she's going to correct me on a few things, teach me a few things. And that's her job and school board. And we're going to learn about why you should run for office, too. Please make sure to listen to this, listen to past episodes, and subscribe and tell your friends, whether it's on iTunes or other formats. And with that in mind, Deborah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you're there. I'm here. We're in two different places connected by the power of technology.
Which I love.
Yep. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Have you you always been politically minded?
I have not. But first, I'd like to say that I am a school board member in Southern York County School District. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the school districts in York County. And no, I have not always been politically minded, actually. I kind of had a midlife crisis in 2008. I was very moved by Barack Obama's campaign. And for the first time, I did things I never thought that I would do. I door knocked, I phone banked, I campaigned for him very aggressively. And in doing that, I ended up meeting a lot of people in my community of like minds that kind of nurtured my interest in politics and civic engagement each step of the way.
So for a lot of people, when they think about politics and campaigns, they think about door knocking, and that can be a bit intimidating, talking to people who you don't know, especially about politics. Was it a big learning experience even then?
During that time when I first started to do it, it was a little nerve-wracking because you find yourself knocking at a stranger's door and you don't know how you'll be received. And actually where they sent me was to the Hanover area, which is very Republican. Mm-hmm. And I was by myself. So, but I have to say that everyone I spoke to was nice and civil to me. But at first it is kind of scary. And I do suggest that when you go door knocking, two people go. It's encouraging to both people who go. It adds to the conversation at the door. Usually one person is keeping track of who you're checking off on your walk list, while the other one might do the pitch at the door. But it was nerve-wracking, and now it's my favorite thing to do. I just love it. And when I did it as a school board member, no one had run for school board for over a dozen years. It's been the same board. There are members on the board that are there maybe 13, 14 years now, up to going on 26, 27 years. So it had been a while since someone had run for the office. And when I knocked on doors, people were shocked that I knocked on their door. They were happy to meet me. They said they had never seen anyone running for school board knock at their door, mm-hmm. especially because school board isn't a paid job. So to be out there knocking on their door asking for their vote for a non-paid job seems to impress a lot of people. And then you get to listen and really hear, you know, what people are saying, hear their questions, let them learn about you. And to me, hands down, it's the best thing to do, but it's also the most challenging because you need to have a crew of people. You need a team. And depending on how big the district is where you're running, there's a lot of doors to knock, and you're not going to get to them all.
So tell me a little bit about York then, because we're encouraging people to run anywhere. You just talked about going into an unknown area. Not that you didn't know Hanover, but it was not, you know, your street.
Yeah.
So you decided to run for school board in the York County district where you were in. What's that area like?
Well, where I am in southern York County, it's kind of a mix. It's got rural, but it also has a lot of influx from Baltimore because we're very close to the Maryland line.
And do you like Baltimore?
Excuse me? I love Baltimore.
Good. We just had an interview with...
I'm a fan of Baltimore.
We just had an interview with a delegate from Baltimore. I just had an interview. Robin Lewis, you're talking about how Baltimore is a great city no matter what some people may try to claim on Twitter.
It is a great city, and actually that's a very important part of southern New York County here, because a lot of people have migrated over the border to live. Maybe they're working in the city. There's huge Raven fans out here.
No one's perfect.
And people love the proximity to all the things that Baltimore offers in terms of arts and culture and everything, so yes. So it's kind of a mix. We have we have three elementary schools, one middle school, and one high school in our district. And the school my son went to, Friendship Elementary, because I live in Codorus Township, which is outside of Glen Rock, PA, is more rural. Whereas the Shrewsbury Elementary School in our district, closer to the border, has more of a Maryland kind of flair. It's more activity. It's more of suburban kind of look. So we cross both of those things.
So it is a diversity isn't just about race or gender. Diversity is about different parts of areas of the country, geographics. Geography, demographics, economy. Different economies and whatnot. But you decided to run for school board. I'm sure that's not something you had planned to do. What kind of got you engaged to do that?
Well, I was pretty active in the elementary school my son went to when he started in kindergarten in 2006. And I tell the story when I ran for office that the very first person my son saw when he got off the school bus, and of course my husband and I followed the school bus, which they weren't encouraging parents to, so that we could take a picture of him getting off the bus at the school. And the first person he saw at the time was the principal there, Beth Koontz, who was high-fiving kids and hugging them and giving them words of encouragement. I thought, this is a school I want to be involved in, and this is a community I want to make sure I'm a part of. So right away, it was important to me as a parent, and because, as an aside, my background is I'm a business writer in the fine jewelry industry, and I do that as a freelancer, so I have somewhat of a flexible schedule, and I was able to volunteer in school throughout the whole time my son was in elementary school, and I was very active on PTO, and I think that kind of is a great springboard for anybody who's interested, you know, to look up further. And I wasn't looking up further. I was really totally PTO, and I was vice president and then president. And then from there, I was invited to be on other committees within the school and became more involved that way. And as my son advanced through the grades, I'd be involved in different things. So it kind of was a nurtured in the respect that I love the school district. I got to know a lot of the administrators and the teachers and the students, and I was there often. And so it seemed like a no-brainer. And I tell this story, too, that I won't say who said this to me, but someone did tell me that I would have to wait for someone to die to get onto school board, because people are on school board for a long time. And that kind of always stuck in my craw as, like, why do I have to wait for someone? I don't want someone to die so I can get on school board. Like, I just want to participate. And really, that was my motive to run was I didn't have an axe to grind. I like the school board members. They've done a supreme job. So my thing really was new blood. and the kind of skill set I thought I could bring to the board because of my marketing communications background and as a writer, I wanted to see, I thought we could do a better job of upping our communication and our connection to the community and to the constituents who put the school board members in office. So that was a motivator for me.
Well, I think that's an important point or important perspective because we talked to some people and hear that they ran for office because they were mad about the president or they were mad about the people who were in office then. But we want people to also be running for positive reason. They like the community. Not that other people don't, but you know, we want people to run for very many reasons, including that they like the community and the things that are going on, and they want to just continue progress. That's a good reason to run for office.
Well, I think that there are certainly times when there are issues that are out there that are huge that is the elephant in the room you can't ignore. So that is true. But I think if you, particularly for school board, because you're one of nine on a board, you have to be collaborative. And if you go on school board with, if your issue or ideologically motivated, then it's really hard to be collaborative on the board. And the one thing I love about our board and so far everyone I've met who's running this year, is they seem very collaborative. And I've gone to like the state school board association conventions since I became a board member and hear some horror stories from other districts that I do not see that happening, and I don't think that it should happen. It shouldn't be partisan. It shouldn't be ideological. It shouldn't be issue-based. It should be what is the best thing to do for our students, for our schools, for our taxpayers. How can we do it in the best way? And when you got a crew working in that way, that's good. It's not all perfect all the time, and there are disagreements, but you have to have that open mind for the end prize.
That's really important. And it's important that that we have candidates who run together as a team and that people collaborate. I mean, we just mentioned Baltimore and with Delegate Lewis, and she was talking about that she as a delegate can only do so much, but she can collaborate with the locals, the elected officials in Baltimore. She can also coordinate with Congressman Elijah Cummings and Congressman Sarbanes out there, who actually do a lot for the city, despite what some presidents like to say. So that collaboration makes a big difference, both politically and governing.
Yes, and two, even though as a school board member, there is some advocacy work too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with the state House and the Senate, particularly now, property tax issues and I think it's SB 76 over the elimination of the school property tax. And now there are meetings happening. Well, how are we going to fully fund and fairly fund if we're doing a different structure of bringing in money? If we're taxing retirement funds, if we're taxing sales tax or personal income tax, how will that affect our residents ultimately down the road? And then will it bring in that security of a certain amount of money you know you can count on? I'm not convinced of that yet, but there are several meetings coming up in the next week or two I'm really looking forward to hear what others have to say. I'm not sold on it yet. And I don't like paying my school property tax either. It's high. But I don't know yet. I'm not convinced yet what the formula is. So there are important issues like that before us. And the advocacy work, I really have enjoyed that. I think for me the challenge has been learning, because there's a lot of personnel issues,
mm-hmm,
and privacy issues, and people want to know, well, why did that happen and why did you do that, and sometimes I can't say.
That is often very frustrating to me too.
Yeah, and I think people think, well, you're trying to cover something up or you're not being transparent, and to some extent we cannot discuss certain things, and that to me is frustrating, because I think the more transparent everyone can be, the better off we are. But, you know, our employees have rights and responsibilities too, and so we have to watch out for that. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. And then I think I'm in my second year now, so I'm kind of getting in the groove. In the beginning, the one good thing is there's many different webinars and seminars and workshops and conventions and things, so you don't have to go into it and feel like, oh my gosh, how am I going to figure all this out, things that I haven't may have done before. Like, I haven't worked with major, with very large budgets. So that's new to me, and learning about all these things has been amazing.
So that's the thing with school board. I feel like people pay attention to a lot of state and national issues, and they know, well, they don't know, but they're very confident in talking about sometimes the most complicated, obscure issues even, but they're confident in talking about even things as far-ranging as foreign policy or whatnot, but people don't know the minutia about school board in particular, which is so important because that's where their tax money goes.
Exactly.
What have been some of the challenges you've faced? You talked about some of the privacy issues can be a big challenge when you're trying to be transparent and open, but what are some of the things you've learned and some of the challenges that surprised you?
There's so much to learn. So, and it's never ending. So there's, it's keeping up on policies and understanding how that, from a state level and also national level, and how that affects us, and also what's happening, within our district. And I have to say that our administration is very good, at keeping in communication with us probably almost daily. I get emails and things. So for me, it's the learning curve on certain things, more than anything, and also trying to figure out ways to connect more with the constituents, because a lot of people don't have children in the school district, and even though they can go on the website and they do get things in the mail from the school district, there isn't that relationship they may have had when their children were in school. So finding those ways of doing things, we're really looking at different ways we can be in the community in ways beyond just through our students and student activity and, you know, sporting events and those kind of things. So I'm really happy about that. I think, you know, for when we were talking a little bit about what my district's like, it's very white in my district. So working on our diversity, diversity training, looking to improve, bringing in more teachers and staff of color, and how we can improve on that. Those are some of the issues that we're really working on now, which makes me pretty excited. So that's where I'm at.
Well, and you know, I talk about that diversity, and doesn't just mean having more people of one party or another, and being in a one party doesn't necessarily mean that you all agree or you all see things the same way. So you want your school board to have certain perspectives, and it sounds like you bring that maybe someone else may have the same party identification, or maybe just as conservative or liberal or moderate as you, according to Chuck Todd or on TV, but you're going to bring in a perspective that someone else won't.
Right. One thing I think we can do a better job of, that I'm hoping we'll make some traction on, is actually attracting and making people interested in serving in this way. Mm-hmm. When I first decided to serve, one of the school districts, Suburban, did a kind of seminar like, so you want to run for school board? And it was for York County, so people from all over the county and different school districts came, and they had a forum of current and previous school board members from different locations speaking about their experiences. And I thought, that's great. Like, I mean, when you run and you want to maintain your office for a certain amount of time, let's say you would like to serve a couple of terms, or 4-year terms, maybe more, but still to be constantly mining for and nurturing that next generation of leadership. And like I said before, I think the PTO is a wonderful place to do that, but I'd love to do more like hey, this is what we do, because I think a lot of the challenge, too, in the communication aspect is not understanding, as you pointed out before, exactly all that a school board member does, or why did you make this decision, or why is that, why did you do it that way because of the state mandate? And so as many ways as we can communicate that in bites that are digestible for people and in different formats, because the older people may not be online, so how do we reach them? Is all part of the, you know, the puzzle, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I'm sure you know, as a school board member now, a lot of people who make education policy don't know exactly what's going on in schools. So
yes.
What have you seen that either we should do locally, not necessarily my school district, but just in general that voters should know, or on a state one, we're looking at state policy that needs to change to improve education. You don't have to fix the whole education system on this podcast in the next 3 minutes, but like,
thanks.
But you know, if you, as a school board member, you have a more unique perspective, and it's something where when you turn on TV, people say, oh, all we need is to fund this or test that way or not test, or there's other people who say just get state funding out of schools, whatever reason. What do you see as some of the main things we need to focus on?
Well, certainly the fairly and fully funding aspect. We have to figure this out. I mean, mm-hmm. New York City schools is among the poorest in our state. And so our school district is fortunate. We're one of the more wealthier school districts where we are. So I think right off the bat, that has to happen. We have to nail this down now. We've been kicking the can down the road too long. So I don't know what's going to happen with these different funding formulas, but that's going to determine what we can do. So I know that Governor Wolf has put more money back in to public education, but we need to make sure it's steady and it's fully funding everybody. I think from a local perspective, we have been working as a school district very hard on partnering with local businesses for internships and ways that kids, and not so much focusing on the you have to go to college after school aspect, realizing that there are kids, like my son just graduated high school, and he does not want to go into college right away. He wants to go into the workforce. He wants to figure out what he wants to do. He doesn't want to throw money at something he's not sure where he's coming from. So there's a different perspective, and we're starting to see it at the state level. They have made some changes in graduation requirements that expand that. I'll kind of go back a little bit to when pursuing trade professions were big as well. So that's exciting to me, that we are giving more opportunity, and also we're trying to look at the days when kids in high school reach maybe junior to senior year, kind of flex schedules, getting them maybe taking college courses outside of school, or they're in the workforce while they're doing this. So that a lot of these things, what we're trying to do is prepare our students to leave the school to, if they wanted to, enter the workforce right away and totally be prepared for college and be prepared to be an adult. So a more holistic view, and on that too, a big thing that we're working on is mental health and that kind of training, as well as the diversity training, and really immersing our teachers and our staff and our students in different things that can help them be more aware, because that's on the schools and our educators and administrators, not only to educate our kids, but they come to school with all these things going on. So, you know, I'm excited about those things, and that those are things we have control over on a local level. Exciting partnerships and working with our kids. We've got this awesome student think tank, and our students, actually, with some of the ideas they came up with, attracted some of the local business with that. I mean, this is cool.
Yeah.
I wish it was like this when I was in high school. So these things get my mojo going.
Yeah, I feel, you know, we have a school district near me. My school district in Upper Marion Township, Pennsylvania, I think is a very good school district, and it's always improving. And then there are a couple of school districts that I won't name where people like to be very critical. And I look at their school district and I'm like, that school may not be as good as ours right now, but is better than the school I went to. It's because it seems like all of these schools are providing so much more with the same amount of people often than they did when I was in school, when you were in school. It just seems like the expectations for education continue to rise, oftentimes faster than we can handle it, right?
Totally, and you add to that the violence factor and the shootings on top of that and all the things, you know, the security elements and things that were, I mean, a lot of it was in place in our school district, like the buzz-in to get in, you show your ID, and that was in place, but now we have more cameras, and we have a full-time armed police officer, actually, who's throughout our district, so that's another layer on it. So you're right, yeah, we ask a lot of our teachers, and we complain about what we pay our teachers, and they have a tremendous job, tremendous.
And, you know, I feel, not that I don't want my kids to be safe, but I don't, if you were saying, oh, we're going to spend an extra $500,000 on school security system, on armed guards, or on books or technology, I would always say books and technology.
Sure.
But
yeah.
As someone involved in the budgeting, especially in a political job, you know, it's hard to be the one to not spend money on security when that's something that so many people have an eye on these days.
Right.
Like, I imagine there's far more political pressure on school boards now than there was before. Well, there's always been a lot of political pressure on school boards. And I don't mean D versus R. I just mean from the voting public.
Yes. And that, to me, another part of the communications aspect is that really the only – you can make an appointment to go see an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a chain of commands. So if there's an issue or a problem, perhaps you would go to the – immediate leaders and go up the chain, and the school board would be the last you would go. But at the school board meetings, you have like 3 minutes to say your, ask a question or give your opinion on something, and then there's no response because it's just the gathering of information. And I think that constituents, they're frustrated by that because they don't feel, where's the forum where we can get to talk? And I know, you know, I can't speak for the board as an individual school board member. I can only speak for myself. Only the president of the school board is allowed to speak on behalf of the school board. I can say my opinion as an individual, but, you know, we always have to keep that in mind. So I think there's some concern or fear by some. I don't want to be out there mingling because I don't want to be put on the spot to say something and maybe I can't comment. But really, I find that all the constituents want is for you to listen to them, let them talk, and if they have questions and I know the answer, I'll answer them. And if I don't, I'll say, listen, I need to find out more information, or I think you should call so-and-so. And they're totally happy and satisfied, and I think that is it. If you are not immersed in the community, then you don't know what's out there. And I think for me, like when I ran for school board and no one had run for a dozen years, none of the incumbents when I ran were running a campaign. They had no yard signs out. They weren't door knocking. There were nothing. So because they were incumbents and their names were known for a long time, and people go and they press their R&Ds and whatever, although school board here cross files, which I think is awesome. But That to me means that you're not as close to everything for a long time if you haven't been out there to communicate with people.
Yeah, I mean, but you are out. You know, you're not. I have seen my congresswoman in a number of things. She's pretty great, but
school board's different than that. You know, school board is a little bit different than Congress because you're not like an individual out there with your platform, per se.
Right, but I do see my school board members. I see them out at dinner sometimes, because there's a lot of them, you know? So you are, sometimes you're almost like a local celebrity. Like, people are going to stop, they're not going to take their picture, but they're going to want to talk to you, they're going to ask questions, and you can't really turn that off too well.
Yeah, yeah. enjoy that.
Good. I mean, I enjoy it too. I like when people talk to me. People rarely yell at me. I've been lucky. So with all that in mind, you're able to focus on these big items, improve your district, take something positive and add your flavor to it. You know, you take a cake that is a school district and maybe add your own frosting and sprinkles. Why would you encourage more people to run, particularly to run for school board?
I think school board is the perfect kind of jumping off platform for, let's say you wanted to do other things, because it's so immersive in a number of topics, not only locally, countywide, and also statewide and nationally. So it gives you a really cool perspective of things, and it teaches you to be, you know, collaborative. So I think from that perspective, it's great. I think if all you wanted to do was to serve, I think it's awesome, because it really, all politics are local, and everybody focuses a lot on the national scene, but really what happens at school board, at your township meetings, at county commissioner meetings, those are the things that really affect your bottom line. Those are the local things, and so they are vastly important, and we need more people to step up to run for office. But I'd also like to say that it doesn't have to end there. We need more people to step up to help people to run for office.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, let's say you're not the kind of person to run for office, but you're a great communicator. You could be somebody's campaign manager. Mm-hmm. You can help them. Like, the woman who helped me, Jackie Wilson, was my campaign manager. She had been out on a disability thing, and so it worked out timing-wise that she was able to invest a little time, and that's the key. The key is time. I work full time, so a lot of people work full time, and it's you think running for office, it takes time, so you have to figure out how you're going to integrate that into your life, if you have kids, what your job, you know, situation is. But definitely we need campaign managers, we need door knockers, we need phone bankers, we need committee people. Committee people are the hugest thing, and that's an office that you run for. Those are huge, because they're the block captains. They're the district captains that really rally their neighbors, and that's where the grassroots starts. And we don't have enough of them. So I would say run for school board, run for township, run for commissioner, run for state assembly, but also run for those things, like the party committee spots. Be a block captain if that's what you can do. Agree to phone bank, door knock. You know, I'll commit to 10 hours of door knocking during a campaign. We have to work together. This is a team effort. It's not easy. If you don't come from money, or for me, like if I were independently wealthy, that I could just do this and not worry about it, it costs money. Now, school board is different. It's not on the same level of investment as the other jobs, but all of those things matter.
Right. And the more people that do it, the more people that run or get involved in campaigns, the less any one person has to do.
Absolutely. Spread the love.
And just like on school board, you have, how many people on your school board again?
Nine.
So if everyone's got their own agenda and they're all fighting amongst each other, it's hard to accomplish things. But if you have a school board where everyone's collaborating, well, you're able to get a lot done. And it's less on any one school board member.
Right. Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate. I don't know that that's the case for a lot of other school boards. But so far, so good. Here in New York.
Well, I'm glad it is. I wish you continued success in York. And if you want to make a success in your school board or your borough council or wherever you are, we really recommend that you consider running for office and finding an organization that can help you. Are there any organizations you might recommend, Deborah?
Well, totally get with your local party.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me here in New York, it's the Democratic Party of York County. Tell them that you're running. There's resources available, at least that they can give you to help you set up your account. It might not be financing, but it's certainly they can explain to you what needs to be done from the petition signing that you need to do to get on the ballot initially, to your actual campaign in terms of giving you walk lists and working with you that way. Now, for me, when I became involved back in 2008, I got involved with the York County Federation of Democratic Women. And I was so excited, and they, like, sucked me in with love. And, of course, I was so eager, and I wanted to volunteer for everything, and they loved that. And that group of women mentored me, and they were the women I went to when I needed to campaign. And I'm actually helping a friend who's running for county commissioner here in New York as well. In fact, there are 5 out of 7 of our county offices are women running this year in New York County, Democrats, exciting. Mm-hmm. So to me, get involved in the clubs. Join the club and the county party or your local party, and from there you will get the resources and the connections and the networking that you need. That's the first place to go.
Now, the first step can lead to a lot of success, as we've seen here with what you did. You started knocking on some doors because someone inspired you, and hopefully someone listening to this will be inspired and knock some doors for someone in their area too.
Let me say one more thing quick. Mm-hmm. There are several programs out there, but this is one of them for campaigning for Democrats specifically, called Emerge Pennsylvania. And I went through the program. It's the most awesome boot camp crash course campaigning program. They take up to 25 Democratic women, which they interview a year. I was in the second year class. Now they just finished their 4th year class. One of the graduates is running for Court of Common Pleas here in New York County, Sandra Thompson. And they are an amazing group. So anytime that you can get to either learn more or hear about seminars or full programs like this, they're worth the investment, even if you don't run for office. They help you with so many skills, like just public speaking skills and other things that can help you professionally anyway. But I definitely recommend that.
Totally agree. Emerge is terrific, and we need more women running for different offices as well, because there's, you know how many states have a majority female legislature?
I do not. Do you?
One.
One.
1 out of 50. So. Yeah. You know, that means that 49 out of 50 states have a male majority legislature. Pennsylvania is one of the worst when it comes to that.
Yeah, as you we're getting better, but still, yeah, we did make some strides in the last election, which was great.
And in special elections since. It's still, but that's a challenge. We need more of those perspectives, especially for more women running. Thank you, Deborah, for doing what you've done. We appreciate it. And for you listening at home, please make sure to listen to past episodes, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you are, and consider running for office.